Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are absolutely delighted that you have welcomed us into your home, and we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are so happy to welcome Laura Meyer, and she is a family trust attorney whose mission is to help families prepare for and navigate major life events. And she's the author of a great book I encourage you all to get. It's called Guided by Grace. It's a Catholic journey through wills, trusts, and estate planning. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. You could go to the website, guidedbygraceplanning.com. Well, I'm excited to have Laura on the show. It's like when we had that other lovely couple and they were becoming minimalists, which sounded so exciting. Yeah. And they cleaned out their house and they downsized and they were in their late 60s, early 70s. And I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, you know? Yeah. And so now we have Laura on our show. Yeah. And she's all about wills and estate plannings and trust because it's educating us. Yeah. Because I think it's the way God sets us up. It's kind of like you two need to take care of business. You need to minimalize your life. You need to get rid of your stuff. And then the stuff that you have, you need to give it to the right people. And you need to come up with a plan. Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to say anything about the other couple.
Well, yeah.
And because what they were doing, so how they tie together.
But then they tie together.
No matter what you have, where is it going when you go? You know, it's like, what are you going to do with this? And so many of us say, well, I don't think I really have that much. Whatever you have is what you have. Who do you want it to go to? What do you want to do with it for your family, for your loved ones? What do you want? How do you want to continue the ministries that are important to you? And don't put off to tomorrow what you can do now, because we don't know the day or the hour. And this is all done from a faith basis. So we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we're delighted to welcome Laura Meyer. She is a family trust attorney whose mission, I love this, is to help families prepare for and navigate major life events. And she's the author of a great book called Guided by Grace. It's a Catholic journey through wills and trusts and estate planning. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. You could go to the website guidedbygraceplanning.com. You may be talking about it, you might be thinking about it, you may go into the study and look at it and go, gonna do that someday, and shut the door and walk right out. And that doesn't solve a problem. So Laura's gonna help you to solve some problems, why you should, which is really important.
And even if you've done some planning, there's various aspects to estate planning, legacy planning, because we've done it over the years, but you could always do it better.
Yeah.
And you better re-examine what you've done, because things change and you didn't change what was in your last will and testament, estate planning, and so on. So we're learning as we're going along here. It's very beneficial to have you on.
We're forever students, for sure. So, Laura, we welcome you and we're happy to have you. But first we want you to tell our family a little bit about yourself and then what inspired you to write this beautiful book.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And I was saying, when you say you're at home with Jim and Joy, you are. I am right at home with you guys.
That's
and you're fabulous
are.
Team.
Thank
so
God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm a California family trust attorney, and I do help families answer those questions about the what ifs in life. How do I prepare for that? How do I make sure I have my legal affairs in order? And I've written two books on this. I speak on it and all of those things. But it wasn't really until my own son, our oldest son, had a medical crisis that I started to realize the type of planning we help families do really isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And it caused us to look at our own planning. And what I'm telling families out there, you know, when I tell them, you've got to prepare for life events. So when our oldest son, he's now 19, but when he was 15, he woke up the, you know, one of the first weeks in COVID, if we all remember, mm-hmm. when we kind of got shut down. And he said, I can't see out of my left eye.
Oh my God.
And being the good mom I am, I said, oh, just go take a shower.
Mm-hmm. All right, wake up.
Wake up, you're fine. Put some dirt on it. And it turned out actually he had gone blind mm-hmm. in his left eye out of nowhere. And when we were going to the emergency surgery the next day, the doctor came to him and said, do you have any questions? And he said, no, but I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm scared too. Mm-hmm. How are we here? What's happened? God, mm-hmm. what is going on? Mm-hmm. And the doctor looked at him and he said, you're scared? He said, would you like me to pray with you?
Yeah.
And hearing those words in that moment really reminded me, in the middle of chaos, God was there. Mm-hmm. And not only did he send this surgeon, but he sent a man of faith, mm-hmm. The son of Baptist Korean ministers,
okay.
This physician was. And he spoke a beautiful prayer over Conrad, and long story short, his vision didn't return. In that eye, he went on to have 4 more surgeries. He lost life as he knew it as a 15-year-old mm-hmm. boy. No more football, no more baseball, mm-hmm. no getting your driver's permit. But during that loss, we really saw God work in his life. And he began saying things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what we learned in that experience was, wow, we go through these terrible tragedies in life, whether someone out there has just got a diagnosis or just lost a loved one, God is present and with us. And it really made me go to our faith's teachings mm-hmm. of what does God say about these chaotic moments? Mm-hmm. How can he help us during these times? And as a happy note, after a year and a half of surgeries, our son did get his vision back and sees perfectly.
Thank
God.
Wonderful.
Yes.
No, I can't imagine what a scary, scary time just to have a mm-hmm. sudden illness mm-hmm. like that, and then you're in surgery, mm-hmm. but things happen suddenly, right?
So quickly.
And then it's like, okay, I don't have mm-hmm. my house in order. I don't have my affairs mm-hmm. the way they're supposed to be. What is the Catholic's response to this? How should I be? And like you said, God sent a praying, faith-filled mm-hmm. surgeon to you, which is a beautiful thing.
Right. And you know, we all know whether you have a pre-plan, mm-hmm. God's going to show up for us mm-hmm. no matter what. He's going to send people into our lives. But for most of us, we don't, you know, actually 70% of families don't create any kind of legal plan like medical directives or a will or a trust to prepare for things that we know are going to happen. Mm-hmm. We all know at some point, you know, we are going to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us will get sick at some point or have a loved one. And so our Catholic faith actually has so many teachings on these topics, beyond just doing the legal stuff, the mm-hmm. practical stuff. Our Catholic faith has teachings in the Catechism, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops
yes.
publications, the Holy Bible, tons of resources. It's just when I went to look for it, it was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there, but they weren't in a singular source.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like to say I did the group assignment for us. I put it all together and guided by grace. So now we can truly see what do we need to do to legally prepare, practically prepare, and what do we need to do from a faith-based lens so that we could have those Catholic protections we need to really sustain us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like what you say. I mean, there's a lot of terms here. Some of us are familiar with them, maybe looked into them more deeply, or we're not sure. I mean, you're talking about a Catholic journey through wills.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know well about wills.
Mm-hmm.
Trusts. Mm-hmm. Estate planning, legacy planning, and all of this as a form of stewardship, which is just mm-hmm. so powerful, mm-hmm. you know, because the scriptures speak about that stewardship mm-hmm. deal, the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, you know, buried the talent. You've got back, you know, what you gave to me, because I know you're a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you knew I was tough? You know, and he's really speaking about the Lord in the wrong way. He says, then why didn't you multiply? Why didn't you invest it?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the Lord, you know, speak. Because I like multiplication.
Right.
And I like using the things of this world. This created order is a good thing. So you should multiply. God's about multiplication. And and sharing it and using it. So again, there you have the kind of biblical, mm-hmm. faithful background. You say you're using the USCCB teaching, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the Holy Scriptures with all the books of the Bible in there, and Catechism of the Catholic mm-hmm. Church. So I didn't know it had that much to say about these areas, or like you said, in your son's case, all of a sudden faith had to come through. Where's mm-hmm. faith in your estate planning, your mm-hmm. legacy planning? So you're a convert yourself?
I am, yes. Okay. I converted 9 years ago. Yeah. At that time, our youngest three children also all got baptized at the same time. So wonderful. it was a true family affair, really mm-hmm. beautiful day.
That's beautiful.
So what is distinctive about the Catholic Church mm-hmm. teaching in these areas about mission and ministry, about mm-hmm. thinking about end of life
right.
issues mm-hmm. that perhaps some Protestants aren't mm-hmm. all that familiar with or have mm-hmm. a diversity of views on when the mm-hmm. Catholic Church says there can be a diversity of views on some things, but some things are mm-hmm. clear about what you're doing in terms of your medical decisions, end-of-life issues, and so on. What did you find?
So our Catholic teachings do get pretty specific on these issues, and it all goes back to what you were talking about, this concept that we are called to be good stewards over our time, talent, treasures, our family, our assets, all of those things, because everything came from God, and He does expect us to be good stewards over it. And so when you approach your estate planning that way, you can really turn to our Catholic teachings to get guidance on how you make those decisions when you're sitting with your lawyer mm-hmm. saying, well, where should I leave my money? What percentage? Or who should I benefit? Or what's this medical directive? Do I just check a box? Our Catholic faith has teachings on all of these topics. And it all goes back to this concept that we are so special to God and that everything we have is because of Him. And when we are called to make these decisions, we need to do it in line with His best for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we say good, better, best, right? Okay, good, oh, state could sort it out better. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put together a will. Best is I'm gonna bring God into every decision and I'm going to look to our Catholic teachings on these topics. And you'll find that our Catholic faith covers everything from you know, we think about guardians, for example.
Yeah, it's big.
Who wants to raise kids? And some people have, I'm learning coming to Alabama, some of you have a handful of children, right? Not as much in California, but who's going to raise these kids if, God forbid, something happens to the parents? Well, the Catechism, for example, lays out God's vision for our families and what type of home He wants our children to be raised in. Yeah. And so we don't have to just think about things like, well, if I passed away, you know, this is what I thought about originally. Who has a good zip code? Who's going to send them to best school? Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to take them to church? Mm-hmm. The Catechism reminds us that, you know, that's not really God's priorities when it comes to raising children and even choosing guardians, right?
Right.
God wants our children, you know, first and foremost, raised in a loving home where they're respected as human beings and persons of God. He also wants them to be educated spiritually in the faith so that they know Him and can look to Him in their life, in their upbringing, and know they're not alone. And then the third one, which I thought is so timely, is He wants our children protected from, quote, the decay of the world, unquote. And, you know, we all know we're in different areas at different points raising kids and now, you know, grandkids. They're inundated with Snapchat, YouTube, TikTok, everything out there telling them how they're supposed to be, completely contrary to what God wanted them to be. And so when you think about things like, who am I going to pick as a guardian in my will to raise my kids? When you invoke Catholic faith teachings, you could go further and you can really think about what matters most, and it will change what you're doing today.
Yeah.
It gives you a new perspective.
When you think about that, I mean, as a parent and as a grandparent, you know, God forbid an event should happen and you're forced to make that decision. You want to make that's enough emotional trauma in and of itself. So you want to make that jump of care, of formation, to be the easiest for the child, right? I mean, Jim lost his mom when he was 5,
right?
So thank God he had his dad there, but you had to have an aunt come in and she was the best thing to be in a mother substitute as
what
she could.
What if they both died?
What if, right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's no, clearly define it. I have a that happens, right? We actually do both die in an accident.
Right, and it happens.
And you don't
it
have anything happen. Written down. What happens?
Yeah, and so what most of us don't realize is that if you don't make plans for that scenario, the state you're in is going to step in with their plan for your family.
That's comforting.
And I always say, as a spoiler alert, you are not going to like it.
Right.
But, you know, minor children can be placed in the, you know, temporary care of strangers. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're grateful for anyone who will step in and help during chaos. But a lot of us would want our, you know, children placed with loved ones right away. And then if parents don't name guardian, a judge who does not even know the family is going to have to decide, and often pits family members against each other, almost in like a custody type situation. And, you know, we all know children don't belong in courtrooms, period. They don't. That's not God's plan for their lives. And so if you don't do anything, though, you're basically saying, I'm going to let the state handle it. So instead, what parents need to do, and they really need to go to a lawyer in their state who could guide them. Every state's a little different, but they're going to name permanent guardians, just people who can they trust to raise their kids. And then they can go further and really ask, well, how do I evaluate the best choice? And what does God say about how children should be raised? And who brings that to the table the best for my kids?
Well, we did that as parents when our children, all our family lived in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. We had dear beloved friends, Gil and Rita. They had no children. They were, you know, right in same lockstep with our faith belief and everything. And it was comforting to our children. They knew this. We set this up. We did it in writing. And so our children, I mean, God forbid, it was just less anxiety. Like, God forbid something happens. You know, kids worry about a million things these days. That's one less thing they had to worry about.
And kids do worry about that.
They do.
I was teaching, you know, the faith formation class for fourth graders.
Yeah.
And it came, first they thought I was a real teacher. They thought that was my classroom. I said, no, I'm not a real teacher. I'm a volunteer. I'm a lawyer. And so they were asking me these questions. They were only in fourth grade, but they basically came out. They said, well, where do we go if our parents die? And I thought, wow, even at fourth grade, like they're saying, they do wonder, and it does provide security. It provides security to the whole family. And on that note, many parents put off doing this because they can't agree.
Right.
They can't agree on a guardian. And I remind them, if you can't agree, what is a judge going to do who doesn't even know? And so it's also something, if you can't agree, just agree for the next year and then agree to update.
Right.
You don't have to peer into the future, wonder if that relative panned out or this one moved closer.
Right.
Just do what makes sense for the next 1 to 3 years. You can always update that decision.
And in that decision, one of the things that we did was we let our family know.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
So they knew because we had different values, we had different beliefs, you know, it wasn't, and they were kind of, everybody was offended, oh, how could it be, but they got it, you know, when they saw our values, our beliefs, they were very different from the way we were both raised by our families, and they came to respect it and love it, and then it let them off the hook. You know, it was kind of like, okay, this is how this goes.
Right.
This is set in motion.
Yeah. By the way, once they become teenagers, everyone's fine with you picking somebody else. They go, okay, no problem. They can go outside the family. We're good.
It's less. It's better.
So what court does, you spend a lot of time on this, a guardian, and I'm very concerned that there are just a lot of people that, that don't deal with this, and they do have children. I think number one is that they don't want to deal with the fact that they could both die.
Yeah.
Or that somebody dies, somebody dies soon thereafter. What court does that line up? Is it family court? Is it probate? I don't know.
Well, so it can touch on different courts, but generally speaking, it's called the probate court.
Okay.
And that's usually where families end up if somebody passed away and didn't have planning in place, like a will, a trust, all of those things. And if decisions have to be made over guardianship or where money should go, it's probate court. And so probate court's gonna, you know, be a little, look a little different depending on the state you're in. But where I'm at in California, it's 2 to 3 years long at a minimum. Some, you know, your family's stuck in court. It's open and public, so anyone can see this. It's not private, it's a court record and a court proceeding.
Yeah.
And it's extremely expensive. In California, meaning you're going to pay a lot of money that could have gone to your family. Mm. And during that time, too, oftentimes the family doesn't know who's in charge. you create unnecessarily conflict in the family of, why is my sister going into my mom's house? Where's this bracelet? You know, all of mm-hmm. those things. Mm-hmm. Everything's tied up in court. And then questions like, well, how are we going to bury mom and dad? Mm-hmm. How do we get access to mm-hmm. their accounts? All of these things happen yeah. when you don't plan in advance.
Lauren, we're going to take a break at this point. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. Guided by Grace, a Catholic journey through wills, trust, and estate planning. This makes me a little uncomfortable. Maybe I don't want to talk mm-hmm. about it. You know, if you don't make a plan, somebody's got a plan for you, like the government or somebody else that could step in, predators, mm-hmm. and kind of take over your family and your estate. So we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Laura Meyer, dealing with issues of wills and trust, estate planning, all in faith, what you want to leave as your legacy, mm-hmm. and seeing that all the way through, having people that will see it all the way through. We began the conversation with you speaking about your beloved son mm-hmm. and him having this odd health crisis of going blind in his right. eye, eventually, you know, got that sight back after a long journey there. Let's speak about the area of health mm-hmm. decisions. And especially end-of-life decisions and how you go about doing that, how you decide about the kind of care you mm-hmm. want at what time.
You know, I was surprised when I went to do this research about how specific our Catholic faith is on those types of matters. You know, what happens if you are in an end-of-life situation or a very, you know, terrible accident and you're not sure, the come-and-go type deal? And what I really learned is that the world standard of care for our bodies is so much lower mm-hmm. than God's. Mm-hmm. And that God, he made us, our bodies belong to him, and he does want final say over when we leave this world. And so one of the things I really just want to encourage people to do is when you get presented a medical directive, before you start checking boxes, we have to go back to what does our faith teach. And our Catholic faith teachings are so concerned not just about our physical care, but also our mental care mm-hmm. and our spiritual care. That's the complete care that Jesus wants for all of us. Mm-hmm. And in your medical directives, when you go to state what you want for your care, make sure that you can receive your last rites. Make sure that's authorized. Make sure that you receive those life-sustaining treatments until it is morally mm-hmm. Morally sanctioned for you to reject them. Make sure you understand that fine line and be talking with your agent, the person you chose mm-hmm. to be in charge. Sit down with them and express your wishes to them and make sure they know who to go to, such as a priest yeah. Or a guide like this or the catechism, so that they could really understand what our faith teaches if you're in such a dire situation. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. And we've really had to think this through ourselves. We had to help other family members mm-hmm. who are kind of like, you know, right away, you know, if something happens, I don't want to be resuscitated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to say to the person mm-hmm. who's close, I said, when don't you want to be resuscitated?
Correct.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if we're talking here and you're choking mm-hmm. or something, are we going to mm-hmm. take you to the hospital and you don't want to be resuscitated or help in this situation? Mm-hmm. She said, no, I don't mean that. I mean when I'm really getting,
right.
when I'm dying.
That needs to be stated.
So, you know, mm-hmm. loved one, you have to mm-hmm. state that you're speaking about imminent death situation. You might not want to be resuscitated, but mm-hmm. they'll take that word and just apply it now.
Right. It's very hard mm-hmm. in a legal document to anticipate a complex medical mm-hmm. event. So you want to make sure that you're not signing something that's going to limit
right.
what you can do. And just a real life example of that, yeah. there were many people who checked that I would never want to be on a ventilator.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how they treated COVID patients.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. all of a sudden you have a conflict.
Right.
So just to make sure what you're signing and that your agent understands that you want the complete care that Jesus wants for you to have.
That's right. Perfect. Laura, thank you so much. Thank God we have you for tomorrow, because there's so many other areas to cover. It's Guided by Grace, a Catholic journey through wills, trusts, and estate planning. Get the book, go to the website, Don't put off till tomorrow what you need to do today. If you say, well, I've done this, when was the last time you reviewed it? Are all the players that you're talking about still in play?
Mm-hmm.
And so you might need some guidance on that. It's all here for you in the book and at the website. God bless you. You're never alone. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.